Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the Extra Hour to continue our conversation about Revelations chapter 13, this economy that God talked about that would be coming, that it's here now, is the producer of VFN Radio program, Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos. If you missed the first hour, you have got to hear it. North Korea does have nuclear weapons that they can put on a missile, reported by Fox News. And something about Superman and the beginning of our conversation about the beast economy and how it's beginning to rise. We're going to continue that conversation in the extra hour. You're listening to VFN Radio's Extra Hour, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos. My goodness, is that not something when you're the beast economy? If you missed the first hour, you've got to hear some of the things that are taking place. I was speaking about a vision the Lord had given me some time back, which you can see on the torch. If you go to VFNTV.com and click on the VFN torch, and in the menu at the top of the torch, it has different selections, and one of them is prophecy. Click on that, and it will lead you to the prophecy about the money, the American money, the dollar being burned up. Mm-hmm. Or you can just search for it inside the torch, and it'll come up as well. And I saw the Lord just saw all the money being just sucked off the face of the earth, paper money, and it was being burned. Mm. And then the Lord began to unfold that and shown me that a digital currency would be loosed on the face of the earth. And, of course, always when you hear from the Lord early on, you begin to share it with those around you. They look at you like, oh, okay, he's just going through one of those things, you know. And of course, when it happened, they go, I can't believe it. This is exactly what happened. I know everybody's looking around Jesus, like, I don't know what's happened. Or around Isaiah, I don't know what happened. Or around John, I don't know what. It's like, you mean you weren't even believing? I thought you were believers. And now you're looking at currencies fall. They're literally systematically, as George Soros reported on one of the news, I believe it was CNN News or CNBC, they're just gently easing down the economies. They're just easing them down. In other words, we're gently destroying the very thing that you trusted in. And we're just going to reboot back up with a new form of currency. And these borders are really in the way. I mean, come on. Just go ahead and just that little piece of paper y'all have locked down under vacuum and, you know, sealed in your museum. One piece of paper. You're going to allow something like a, like, I don't know, a constitution, just get in your way from entering into all, you know how much you love money. And listen, you want great wealth? You want kingdoms? Listen, they were given to me. I'll give them to you. Just bow down and worship me. Isn't that what Jesus was told by Satan? Mm-hmm. And sad to say, like dogs for a treat, so many human beings, all you got to do is offer money. And it's like, what are you doing? Why are you doing that? You become somebody's best friend, right? Mm-hmm. Why wasn't your friend $100 ago, and now I'm your friend for $100? Like, yeah, what happened there, you know? And then they don't have the $100. Like, and now I'm not your friend. It's like, right. what was that tying us together in the context of that? It's like, hey, my employees are my best friends. Well, you know, go like 6 weeks without one of your clients paying you for a product that you produce and see how well they hang around, right? And it's like, y'all don't love me anymore. What happened? What happened to that? You didn't even bring me a Christmas gift at the party. I remember there was one particular man that was working for me. And sometimes your customers pay you on net whenever they want to. Mm-hmm. And I had gotten a government contract. I'll never forget. Government Woo-hoo. Contract. And this was under President Bill Clinton. And he thought he would just organize the entire nation and put all payments. Everything that would be paid anywhere for the U.S. government would come out of one office.
Oh, great.
In California. You know, and you get the government contract, and, you know, back then, you know, was really naive thinking, hey, this is good. And so we produced the product, we delivered the product, and they didn't pay. The government didn't pay. I felt like China or something. Anyway, so then I call them up, and you say, well, I'm just going to call up President Clinton, and we're going to talk about it. I called up the office in California, wherever it was. I think it's California. And it says, we're sorry that we're busy at the moment, but thank you for calling. If you could call back in 30 days, we would appreciate it.
Oh, my God.
30 days. 30 days. I'm thinking, and this is back under, you know, President Bill Clinton. No, tell them what it's like. Now, thank you for calling the Obama administration. If you don't mind, please call China. they will help, be able to help pay you, or at least give you a note until we, you know, think about it. And it started under President George Bush. It didn't start under, the path was set under President George W. And President Obama just took it and ran with it.
All right.
You know, Patriot Acts and stuff like that. Anyway, so, you know, we were talking about how the currency was just being a vision that God had given me that was being sucked off the face of the earth. It was burned. Then there was going to be a digital currency released. And at some point, they may even say, listen, you see how defeated your money is. But if you'll go ahead and accept this, and they probably won't ask you, but that they do. If you go ahead and accept this digital currency, right now you have $500. We will give you $700 of this digital currency if you just go ahead and move into it now. And the thing about it, once you move into digital currency, you can be robbed by a hacker tomorrow, and all of a sudden you have $1 in your account, and they begin to control what happens there. That's why the school systems, I believe, are going to digital books, not because it's convenient, because you don't give a 12-year-old an iPad. You don't give an 8-year-old iPad, but if you want to change what's in the textbook every night where parents can't review them continually and change history, you can make it digital. You can change it continually. Mm-hmm. And they can approve this version of the book, but the next day, they can just that day, you know, put this line in there and teach this class tomorrow, and all of a sudden every kid in America in the public school system is changed, totally changed. I mean, come on, what parent gives an 8-year-old an iPad? You know, that they can carry with them on a bus, that carries with them. I mean, they break paper books. They break paper books. Right. But if you want to control a nation, you need to make it digital that you have the access to being able to change the content of that book continually. Printed things really get in the way of evil people. Like, I don't know, Bibles. Mm-hmm. If you don't have a Bible that's actually on paper, I encourage you to get it now.
Yes.
Get it now. If you're just searching, everything you're doing is online, you know, that's cool. Do it, I guess. But also, get you a paper Bible and learn how to hang out with God with you, a pencil, a journal, and your Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Because what if the data stuff went down, or they just thought, hey, you know, since it's a one world government now, and you Christians, you know, you have your opinions just kind of really just make us feel convicted. So can you just, I don't know, we're just going to make you illegal, make your expression illegal, and all of a sudden now you can't be online anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Bibles come down and all that stuff comes down, and that's what Hitler did. I mean, he began to burn everything that had to do with Christianity, except for the art. He kept it because it was, anyway. So Johnny Foote, another prophetic friend of mine, sometime back now, and we actually have this available for you on also The Torch. Go to VFNTV.com and click on The Torch. That he said very specifically early on now, not now, back then, that this shifting taking place is a shifting to the beast economy. To the beast economy, this digital currency. And we're talking about, you know, just one particular currency right now called Bitcoin. Bitcoin.org, you can find out the details about it.
Do you know how strong that is right now? That the Atlantic Wire reported that in North Dakota, the libertarians were actually accepting bitcoins as donations. They were accepting that as money. And one of the original founders of Facebook, I believe it's the Winklevoss twins, they have millions invested in bitcoins. And
yeah.
It's huge.
Yeah, and logically, it makes logical sense. Biblically, it makes sad sense because that is entering into a one world economy. And this is one thing they define themselves by. And we will make the references to what we're talking about available to you on the VFN Torch. So you can go to VFNTV.com, click on The Torch, and look, read the article. You can listen to this again and share it with your friends. But also, you can click on the sources of what we're talking about.
Yeah.
You're going to be able to see firsthand where China has decided that they're going to begin to no longer just trade in the American dollar. This week, they begin to trade in the Australian dollar. The Australian dollar. And that's so significant because we've been so prideful, we thought nobody would ever do that. But you have to understand, we've been downgraded and downgraded, so our dollar is not as valuable as we think it is anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a huge thing because China owns the majority of our debt. He owns the majority of our debt, and so they could easily just call our loan. They call our loan, and the little bubble thing we got going on right now, which is huge unemployment, the employment we do have has been by government and stimulus money, which means they printed the money and they distributed it, which made the money you had less valuable because there's more dollars printed.
Right.
And all of a sudden, that puppy gets pulled out. And I believe, and I want to state it, and I've stated it already prophetically before, but I want you to hear in the context of this conversation that we are not on the edge of the cliff, we're dangling off the edge of the cliff, and they're seeing, because they want to make this push that's going to happen in our country is going to be, they want to make sure, because we've been pushed before in history. America's been pushed, and they wake up, and they repent, and the church repents, and we come back. That's the first Great Awakening, second Great Awakening. And if you wait too late, you're bait. That's what Isaiah says. If you wait too late to stand up for righteousness and what God says, they're just going to come and devour you. You know, and we hope this is not too late, but we want to be on the right side of history. We don't want to, when we're standing before the throne of God, we want to be able to say, Lord, we stood for what we could in the context of what, and he is speaking to us, and he's revealing to us, and we're hearing similar things from our own brothers and sisters that are out there who are listening to God. And but a lot of people don't believe God speaks. They profess to follow a God that they don't believe has a voice, and they don't want to hear what he's saying.
Mm-hmm.
They're just having like carnivals and things instead of that, right?
Yes.
Carnivals. It's just like many. And so here we are. This currency is worth $1 billion, they say, reported by the Blaze. $1 billion currency that's not, it's not tied to any nation. Like the American dollar is tied to America.
Yeah.
So if you want American dollars, you either got to find Hussein where he hid his money in Iraq. Or you got to come to America or an exchange place. But this is this, it's not anywhere, but it's everywhere. It has no, sort of like I said earlier in the first hour, it's like what our president said about himself when he went to Israel. He said, I'm from everywhere, I'm not from anywhere. I'm like, you know, did you look at the plane that brought you in? You're the president of the United States. You are from, I just come from America. You know, you think.
Right.
It's like, is this what it looks like? You always wonder what it looked like, because remember when Gideon gathered around the Midianites, the strifefulness and all the stuff that was going on, and God's people were hiding out and eking out livings and just trying to survive. And then God raised up a small army to be able to, because he didn't want it to be any bigger because he knew men would take credit for it. Mm-hmm. And they were watching God do something that caused them to turn in on themselves. And America's destroying itself right now. It's destroying itself. Somebody says, this is, and this is not what's being said, but just imagine this. Somebody says, I'm going to punch you in your face. And the person goes, oh, this is so good. Did y'all hear that? Line up. He can punch you too. She can punch you too. I'm going to take away all your money. Here's my money now. I'm going to buy you health care that we don't even have money for. Oh, that's so good. I'll never have to work a day in my life. And if I get sick, they'll take care of me. You'll never have to do a thing. You know, and it's just like, people are just lining up and it's like, oh, because it's only like one chapter, maybe one, two, three verses in the Bible when you read about it, because obviously it didn't happen in, you know, 26 words. It happened over a period of time. And, you know, we have this tendency to read God's word and think, man, that happened in 5 seconds. It's like, no, get thee up and go. The and was 25 years. And we're watching America turn in on itself. And we're watching the world cheer because the arrogance, what's kept America was a church that stayed right before God and stayed faithful before God, and we stayed in right relationship and protected Israel, and we stood for the protection of their democracy and protection of the Jews. And we have a Holocaust museum in New York, you know?
Yeah.
And in the context of this, all that's changing before our very eyes.
Mm.
And why should we stand if we don't stand for God? I mean, somebody says, well, it's all these evil nations, they're standing all the time. You don't get it. You don't get it. God's people don't get away with that. Mm. If you are his, you know, and you got attitude, you know, if you're that next generation that we're going to be talking about probably next week, that the Joshua generation, they went to go be with their fathers, but the next generation didn't know anything about God. They chose not to learn for whatever reason. It wasn't communicated. I mean, just watching this wounds on Joshua's body and asking questions from the wars he fought to be there. I mean, just through osmosis alone, if you're interested in the previous generation, you can learn what's going on. But they didn't know. And everything that's happening to America right now happened to the next generation after Joshua. Mm. And the good thing I'm going to be sharing about it is that how that all started, all of Joshua's generation went to go be with their fathers. The good thing about it here in America is all of Joshua's generation is not yet gone. Mm. You still can tell them. But you got to quit just trying to earn money your entire life and spend money on yourself and get stuff and things and all these excuses and all this fear that you're not going to open your mouth. Listen, if you don't open your mouth, you know, it's going to be really, really bad. And we'll be talking about that next week. But all you got to do is just start opening your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Start teaching your family. Oh, okay. First, you make Jesus the Lord of your life. Get to know him. Begin to abide with him. Go to iabide.org and learn how to have a relationship with God first, and then you can have a relationship with others. Become Jesus' disciple. He said, go make disciples of the nation. Listen, you need to be discipled. And you also can find out at iabide.org, a simple way to begin a discipleship, 12 simple little booklets that can take you on a journey from becoming Christ-like and being knowing Jesus Christ as Lord, all the way to walking out and telling others about the Lord and sharing that experience. And if we'll do that, then this next generation, which we'll be talking about, is a pagan generation. It's a pagan. If you define what a pagan generation is, a pagan person is somebody who doesn't acknowledge God, who has all these different other gods and runs after things and stuff and even clothes and food and water, runs after those things. And Jesus says pagans in Matthew chapter 6. He says pagans runs after these things.
Mm-hmm.
He says, I already know you have need of them. But see, you don't know God.
Uh-huh.
You don't know that God knows and that God can provide for you. Well, whose fault is that? Well, right now, if we know that, and we're going to find out next week, we need to tell them it's our responsibility. Don't say you go hire somebody to go tell what you should tell your own kids. As a matter of fact, you can start broadening the horizon about how to educate your kids. You know, George Washington attributed his knowledge to be the president of the United States to his mother teaching him and schooling him. Abraham Lincoln, the man that we admire so much and everything that he did in being able to hold things together under God's hand for this nation during the Civil War when America, brother was fighting brother, you know, he attributes to his schooling at home, you know, but we're giving up everything. We've given up everything to government and everything to others and blaming everybody else for stuff we refuse to do. But when we stand before God, he's going to say, but you knew and you didn't tell them.
Mm.
You knew and you didn't have them, your child. You knew how to read. You could have taught them how to read. You could have taught them how to read. How are they ever going to read? 50%, according to CBN News, 50% of Detroit, Michigan is illiterate.
Wow.
80% of students that graduate high school in New York City can't even read.
Just to let, and so we need to define what that means. Illiterate means you can't read.
Yeah.
Which you can read. Somebody can teach you to read. It's not a permanent thing. Mm-hmm. But the thing about it, if you can't read, you can't read the Bible.
Yeah.
And if you can't read the Bible, you can't learn about the things of God. Now, you can be taught the things of God, and God can you can encounter God, and you can be saved. But, you know, the mature, you're not in control of your own destiny in God in the context of growing and learning. And the enemy would want you not to read.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That was the original prior to the Gutenberg printing press. They wanted nobody to be able to read. They wanted everybody to be dumbed down because they wanted to tell them how it needed to be. Listen, the Gutenberg printing press today is, for us, it's the VFN torch.
You know? That's right.
It's VFN radio and VFN TV.
Yeah, and it's a powerful way that we can share the word of God with you, and you can be encouraged, and for the masses to hear what God's saying.
So if you don't know how to read, You know, get with somebody, a super Christian, get with another Christian and say, teach me to read. I want to read. Start a ministry in your church saying, listen, this is a reading ministry. We're going to teach people how to read. And teach them how to read in the Bible. Don't do these other books. Teach them how to read the Bible. That's how people used to learn to read, was to read the Word of God. And that alone, God will empower you to learn so much quicker. You listen to VFN Radio. We'll be right back.
Culture, issues, society. This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
We have a law society for undergrad students who are in the legal studies program. Jay, I need to know something regarding a Christian law society. And what will we need to do to go about it? Or is there like a national charter?
Well, actually, there is. The Christian Legal Society has student campuses on almost every campus in the country. And I would encourage you to look at that as a possible option. And they've got some great programs and great resources. And I would encourage you to do that. So just go to cls.org. But it's the Christian Legal Society. And they've got great information. It's important to have Christian fellowship groups, and they're allowed to meet just like they can on a college campus, on any other club meeting, or a high school campus. They're allowed to meet, discuss legal issues, and whatever it might be, and the Christian Legal Society would be a good place for you to look at.
Visit us at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
I'm so excited to have Steve Kalaszewski with us on VFN Radio today. Glad to have you here.
I'm glad to be here.
And there's people out there right now that I know you're brilliant now. I mean, because you're so educated. I mean, you just graduated from University of West Florida. You've graduated from the Vine Fellowship Network University. I mean, you're about to go plant a church. You've already did church work in Florida, but you're going to go to Pittsburgh. I mean, you're just, you know, walking on water now. But imagine if you would.
God. Thank you, Jesus.
There's somebody out there listening right now on VFN Radio that they slightly felt like, you know, I had a call, but immediately they looked at themselves and they looked at their work at this even come to pass. And, you know, they started doubting themselves. Talk to that person right now about how VFNU could help them out.
Wow. If you really feel that God's just really speaking to you or just speaking in your heart, VFNU is the resource that you need, because I totally relate to you, because when God found me, I had gone through the laundry list of everything that the world offered. And I knew that as soon as the message of Jesus Christ was shared to me, I knew that's exactly what I wanted. And God just began to just take me on a journey of just revealing himself to me. And it, no matter what he revealed himself, no matter what he revealed to me, it just made me more hungry. It just gave me a greater desire. And when God began to speak to me about VFNU, I was like, I have no idea what that is, but I know I want it. And if it has anything to do with God, sign me up. And in that, it was just like, each day was overwhelming, because it was like, oh my goodness. I'm like, wow, like this is, but it was overwhelming in a good way. And it's just so God. Right. God gives you the tools. He gives you just so many revelations, just so many levels of his word that are just, he's just so good. And VFNU is just, I mean, I still have all my notes, everything. I look back on it. And even in that, it's encouraging when I look back on it. And it's like, I remember, I think I was talking about with you right after I graduated, and it was like looking back over an old photo album of all the revelations. It's just like, oh, I remember this one. Oh yeah, I remember when God spoke to me in my abiding time about this. And it was just,
isn't it amazing? So you can gather all the information that you want to, but there's nothing like the revelation. It's so empowering, and that's what VFNU is about.
It was
revealed from God.
Yeah,
you know, it's not like, you know, you might be thinking like, I got to go take my English class, I got to take my algebra class. It's just the revelation of God, and it's anointed. You know, and so you walk into it probably thinking, you know, well, I got to get this information so I can, you know, get to the point where I could minister, maybe shepherd God's people or whatever. And you walk in, the first thing you go is like, whoa, right? Right?
Yeah.
And then you finish that wow, right? And then you go to the next thing, you go, like, whoa, you know, it's just, he's so awesome, isn't he?
No matter how much God you have, there's more.
There really is. And if you want to find out more, you want possibly interested in, you feel a call on your life, you want to know more about possibly getting into leadership, and maybe you want to feel like you're called to be a pastor and you want to be trained, just come out to go to VFNU.org. That's VFNU.org, and you can find out more. Welcome back to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me is Pat and John. Oh my goodness. We are speaking about the digital currency Bitcoin that's available today. What state was that? Dakota? North Dakota?
North Dakota.
Right.
North Dakota.
Right. And it's worth $1 billion, according to the Blaze reported just this week. China has moved into now trading with something other than the dollar they thought would never happen. They're trading with the Australian dollar this week. Some of the prophecies that we're talking about and the visions that God has given us is that we'll be shifting to the beast economy. Listen, it was going to happen. It's going to happen. The thing is that where do we move into this? And we're going to look at God's perspective of what's going on in the world. Somebody who doesn't know God, it kind of makes logical sense. But in the context of us as the church, we have to be willing to go through some stuff. By the way, we are called to walk as Jesus walked. I mean, we're not going to be treated any better than Jesus was treated. Mm-hmm. A student will not be treated any better than the teacher. And the thing is that if they're treating you better than Jesus, you know, you got to ask yourself, like, are you really walking with Jesus?
Yeah.
And he said, you know, he says that, listen, if somebody asks you to go a mile, go 2 miles. If somebody hits you in your right cheek, turn the left cheek. And different things that Pat walks out in his life that we can learn it from.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? We need help, don't we? Yeah. Oh, so my goodness.
We're talking about the economy. You know, I just remembered even, too, the dream that God gave me about the economy being over in 6 minutes. And that was, I mean, you know, amazing. We've made money an idol. And in this dream, basically, I was walking to my desk and everyone was gathered around a television screen, and it was breaking news, not like breaking news today where they spend 35 minutes telling you what they're about to break the news.
Right.
It was, you could tell that it was breaking news. It was everyone's at a standstill, and the reporter standing on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange, and all trading had stopped.
Now tell everybody what they don't understand the stock exchange. What does that represent?
It represents where stockbrokers are trading the value of companies internationally.
So all these businesses that you see around here, they're owned by the stock exchange and by people who buy stock in those companies.
Shareholders, right.
Right. So it's the value of our country.
Exactly. And so it's completely stopped. They're not trading. You understand that?
Now pause and think about this too. Now, we just talked yesterday about Detroit. And when the economy stopped there, what happened to Detroit when the economy stopped?
Urban wasteland, dead zone.
You got to see this. Go to the VFN Torch and go to VFNTV.com, click on the VFN Torch or on your app or whatever, and you got to see the context. We're having a conversation with you. Connect all these parts. And what John's telling you right now and what I'm telling you, but what he's telling you right now is that Detroit is a warning shot fired over the bow of America about what's about to take place. And what he's telling you is a prophecy, a vision, a dream that God gave him about what's going to be happening in America. And part of that is the VFN Torch that we're talking to you about.
Yeah,
you need to read these prophetic words, but go ahead. And so remember yesterday we were talking about how horrific, you know, CBN News was, we got a video of what Detroit looks like and what is going to happen when he tells you what's about to happen. God's telling us what's going to happen. That's what America is going to look like.
Yeah.
So go ahead. I just wanted the context because
it's important
yesterday
to connect it all. And so the reporter's about to release breaking news, and he's basically given a prophetic word because he's reporting it live. And as soon as he says, when we get back, I'm about to share something of huge significance, or it's gonna, you know. So at that particular point, I'm going to my desk because in my dream, I already know how God just lets you know some things. This is related to what God has already been speaking to us about the economy, and I'm thinking, okay, this is that. So I go to get my things. Because I know pandemonium is going to break loose, you know.
Because in the city, by the way, and he's in a city environment, that there is no hurry up once everybody decides to hurry up. You just bottlenecks. I think, how many ways out of Manhattan are there?
There's only three ways.
Three ways off that rock.
That's it. Two tunnels and a bridge.
So if you want to warn people, you got to go over the Brooklyn Bridge, then go, hey! Exactly. Y'all need to go.
Exactly. So as I'm making it back out, I'm passing the people, and then he's getting ready to start talking, so I stop to listen. And he says, I just want you to know, I don't want you to panic, but what we're about to share is to let you know that in six minutes, the world's going to be over as we know it.
So the way the world is happening now won't be happening in 6 minutes.
Right.
Which is suddenly. But, you know, really, you're looking at the unfolding of this, is that we're watching it all be built up and it's systematic and we're easily letting them down because we don't want them to suddenly go down, as George Soros says. You know, right. Yeah. Ease them down, you know, quantitative easing. That's why they keep printing and printing, because they're just kind of easing us down.
Right. And so people go ballistic. They're just going ballistic.
No, this is in the dream that he gave you.
This is in the dream. They're just going ballistic. They're panicking. And I rise up and say, this is that. We've been talking about this. We've been sharing this. And I start just gathering people. Go to the torch. Go to the torch. At that time, it was we.
Right, I understand.
Name. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going, go to the torch. Everything's on there. Mm-hmm. And read up
the
on
VFN
it.
The VFN torch.
Eyes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, VFN. People's eyes were, you know, really, really asking.
Yeah.
And I started heading on out. And that was the end of that. But you look at what's happening in Detroit, where 45,000 homes are either burned down or abandoned.
And it's just like they're being blown up or something, because this car manufacturer, former business is there that the current administration said they fixed. Mm. I mean, it looked worse than the buildings in Iraq that got blown up.
They said that the crime there, murder rate is higher than Colombia.
Oh, my goodness.
Clue.
Yeah.
Catch a clue.
When
you know, the good citizens move out of a city like that, all that's left are the poor that can't leave, and people that take advantage, criminals that take advantage of other people. And we even saw some of that stuff happening in New Orleans, even during a hurricane. I mean,
yeah, they remember that also, that 1,000 police officers now are no longer on. They left through attrition. They just didn't replace them. So you have the highest crime in America, higher than Colombia. Then you have 1,000 officers missing. Then you have 50% illiterate. They can't. You think about that. Just stops you from being able to get a job, filling an application, you know, planning your future, going to college. It just stops everything.
Everything.
Yeah, and then that means this, that the majority of people that are in that condition in Detroit are probably living on government subsidy, which is cool that they can survive now because we're helping them out. But what's going to happen in 6 minutes when the economy falls? And even the subsidy is not there. I mean, it's already high crime.
You see what sequestration's doing. You know what I'm saying? He's like, they're cutting all different type of things, and that's just a little. That's nothing. That's nothing. That's a little bit, you know.
And a lot of people are complaining about how it's being done. That the sequester, they intentionally, you know, pointed out particular programs, it appears, that caused us discomfort. And they're saying it didn't have to happen that way. But, you know, it's the mercies of God, because he's letting us, through our president, God is letting us taste of what it could be like. What it could, you know what I'm saying? Everybody's like, you know, make it easy. No, this is what it's going to be like. He's let, whatever his motives, I don't know. We pray for our president continually. But despite whoever's in office and all those offices in Washington, D.C., we're talking about something God told us outside of all that.
Exactly.
And God even told us that he would be the president of the United States, by the way.
Yeah.
So he's got. I totally believe that he's God's set man. He's like Jehoiakim, Josiah's son, has been set in place. I think he's God has set him there for this purpose. He's not. It's God's set man, and Jehoiakim's responsibility in God was to humble Israel because they turned their backs on God, and don't worry about Jehoiakim. Because you have his uncle coming next, and Jehoiakim means God's set man, but his uncle's name means God is just. And that's when Israel, and this is all God orchestrating it, that's when God took Israel from Egyptian battle and captivity into Babylonian captivity. And all of a sudden now, this is when it's like, it's time to be a Daniel, you know?
That's right.
People may say, I can't believe that. You know, you were just so bold for what was going on and all that kind of stuff. And it's like, we were bold for Jesus. You know, the church is all over the world. The church is not Americans. Christians are not Americans. And these people that are twining Christianity around the American flag, you're going to be disappointed anyway, because There are Chinese Christians. There are Iranian Christians. There's Swedish Christians. There's Danish Christians. There's African Christians. There's Egyptian Christians. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
We're all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And so our loyalty is to Jesus Christ, who says whatever government that you're under, then you operate under that government and you honor those in authority over and you pray for them. And it's all different. You know, we're an anomaly. America's an anomaly mm-hmm. in the context of history mm-hmm. because it's normally always been tyrannical rule and monarchies and all this kind of stuff. And we may go back. You know, some are reporting it says it appears we're going back to a monarchy. But let me tell you something from a Christian conversation to you. If it does go that way, God would expect you to honor the king.
That's right.
Sure. So don't get so prideful that the king will not even accept your service if it did go that way.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
Because Daniel was a godly man. He didn't compromise his faith in God, but he was chosen by the king because of the favor of God, and he was the one that was there helping run Babylon.
Exactly.
And Nebuchadnezzar, the leader of Babylon, was God's servant.
Mm.
Was God's servant. An evil man was God's servant.
Yep.
And Daniel was a godly man who served the king but honored God. You know, and he had no problem saying positive things about the king. You know, oh, King Nebuchadnezzar, Paul was taken into captivity and he's standing in chains. You know, he's saying, you know, oh, King Agrippa, I know your work and what you've done. And sometimes Christians today, you're hearing American Christians, they don't say anything nice about our president and our leaders at all. Instead of just saying, you know, that this particular policy is bad, but is this man bad or is this, you know, uh-huh. they attack these leaders and God's going, listen, you're supposed to pray for those in authority over you. And it's uh-huh. not our place. It's just not our place. God's place to deal with the king's heart. It's God's place to deal with the leader's right. heart. And in America, by the way, we are Josiah. And we can't point our finger at Washington, D.C. because they're there because we put them there through our action or our inaction. So the only way we can change that, if you feel like it needs to be changed, is not to criticize that, is to rebuke yourself and get involved and do what our founding fathers. Read the Constitution, by the way. Read the Ten Commandments, by the way. You make God's values your priority. And so here we are now. This one world economy is beginning to just evolve before our eyes. Now, if you understood what I just said and you're kind of in agreement with what we're seeing, then you say, well, it doesn't matter what form of government is. I'm not gonna lose my loyalty to Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. It doesn't matter. You know, if God calls you to be a missionary in Iraq, I mean, because you're an American, all of a sudden you're gonna have to go to Iraq and you're gonna have to listen to the authorities there. You're gonna have to operate in the context of that culture, and God's going to honor you for that. But you don't give up your loyalty to Jesus Christ in the context of it. It could cost you, you know, health and life and limb or whatever. But we become Daniels at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And Daniel is like, how do I serve the king? How do I serve the king? And you can be the best, hardest worker, just like Joseph was, just like Daniel was, and on and on and on. And that's cool. So we can adjust based on what happens in the world because the kingdom of God goes on. Kingdoms of men rise and kingdoms of men fall.
Go, that's right.
And God determines when this happens, but God's kingdom is forever. Okay, when we get back, we're going to continue this conversation about this one world economy because I wanted you to have that perspective. I don't want you to be terrified because this is a prophecy. This thing is going to happen. You know, right. when it actually kicks into place, It may run for a while as being okay, and then all of a sudden it shifts over into this deep demonic whatever. But it's all going to go the way God said it's going to go. You're listening to VFN Radio. We'll be right back with this conversation about the digital currency. It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you, that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation. That stand with us prayerfully and financially. They just partner on a monthly basis to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation and this nation, by God's grace, to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving. So what is this stuff now? I know that, you know, Steve was leaving last night. We got a chance to spend some time together. He was in the secret place and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And like you got him some slap your mama hot sauce. Is that right?
I did.
Are you serious?
I did. Yeah.
What is slap your mama hot sauce? I can't believe that you would even think of your mother is so sweet.
Well, it's not something you actually do.
Well, actually,
what?
Mother bought her own slap your mama hot sauce.
Are you serious?
She did. I was blown away. I found it in my cupboard the other night. So where did this come from?
So your mother bought you slap your mama.
Yeah.
Sure did.
Yeah.
Is that crazy?
Yeah.
So then I'm not going to buy any slap your mama. You know what I'm saying? It sounds like slap your mama. You know? Why do they call it slap your mama? So why not?
Well, there's a southern saying, I guess you would call it.
If we get any further south, we'll be in Mexico. We're talking about southern. I don't know about slap your
mama. We'll probably Louisiana more than anything. I guess it kind of drifted over here to the east. But, you know, when something's so good, it's just like, man, it's so good. It just makes you want to slap your mama.
Did your mama ever get you something nice for Christmas or anything like that? That's terrible. I mean, if something good happens, you slapped your mother.
Well, no, food, something that you eat.
Didn't she fix you dinner and stuff?
Yeah.
Was anything good?
Yeah, all the time.
Bless her heart. Bless her heart.
How many times did you slap mom?
You slapped your mother?
I never slapped her.
You said, but it's a southern way of doing things.
That's a southern saying. That's like
saying. Shoo. Yeah, I was like, oh my goodness. I'm thinking, that's terrible.
I never knew.
Yeah, my mother would say, well, he bought that once. He bought that once. He ain't buying that no more.
Yeah, I said it to Steve one day. We were fixing to eat something. Mm-hmm. I think it was one of Christmas ribs,
actually.
He's from
Detroit Lions.
He's from Detroit. apparently, they don't have hot sauce or anything spicy up north. So we've indoctrinated him to hot sauce since he's been here.
So what does it taste like? What does slap your mama taste like?
It's just real hot, spicy, you know, Tabasco-y.
If you had to compare it to nuclear waste and...
Not quite that hot.
So it's hot?
That's toxic. It's really hot, yeah.
Is it really?
You probably wouldn't like it.
Is that wasabi sauce?
Wasabi?
Wasabi?
That's a different type of sauce.
Wasabi.
Wasabi.
Whoa. I love that. You're wasabi. That's very good. Chris seldom he seldom says anything wrong. We got to get the wasabi.
Yeah.
The wasabi.
We can make a segment out of that.
You spell that wasabi. So it's hotter than?
Wasabi?
Yeah.
It's a different type of heat. Wasabi will just clean your sinuses completely out. If you have any problems.
Oh, we don't need any details here. What happens with your system? So why don't you just like throw a match in your mouth? I don't understand why you're doing this. I mean, if you eat.
It's just I enjoy the burn.
You're a fire swallower, like the guy in the circus where they swallow fire, right?
Not quite.
You think about it.
Yeah. I don't know what happened to me. It was Second Street.
Always goes back to Second
Street. Yeah, Second Street, or Carver. Anyway, we won't talk about Carver. So I'm looking at a bottle right now online. It is called Slap Your Mama.
Yes, it is.
But they have powder Slap Your Mama and liquid Slap Your Mama.
Yeah, I bought him both, actually.
You did?
I got him the powder and the sauce.
Well,
it's seasoning, you know, you put on your stuff.
Oh, okay. All right. Got it. Well, it was just a new thing for me. I just didn't realize. When I saw it, I said, oh, it's hot sauce. And you're telling me, like, slap your mama. I should have read it. I could have bought some for my mama. That would have been terrible. Well, Steve, don't slap your mama. She's this very sweet lady. Very sweet lady. Welcome back to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me is Pat and John. We're talking about a one-world economy that's evolving before our eyes. If you missed it, you got to hear the whole program. We're not going to repeat it because you need to catch up what's going on. There's a digital economy. There's a Bitcoin, B-I-T-C-O-I-N, that is being used as a currency worth $1 billion today, being used by the Libertarian Party in the United States as well. But also it's being used. It has no place, no nation. It's this virtualness. And I'm reading right now from Revelation chapter 13, which is a prophecy. You know, and if you know, the Bible's filled with all these many, many prophecies. I wish we could have Tracy on, and she could just give us that whole rundown on at this dimensions that God has gifted her with about the Bible that could show you everything about it in the context of it or a lot of it. But understand this, that this was written by John, who walked with Jesus when he was put on the Isle of Patmos. This is a while ago, and he's writing, this is what God showed him when he was there, and he was talking about what it's going to be like in the last days. Hello, last days. Think about it. Last days? Revelation chapter 13 talks about this economy. It's all going to be about the economy and who rules that economy and who says, okay, if what happened we just talked about, we're not going to repeat it, but you can go back and listen to what Detroit is like because the economy... because this current administration fixed it, what the economy is like, because their money quit moving. And now God told us that in a dream, this a prophetic dream, that this is going to happen to America, and real quickly it's going to happen. It's real quick. I'm at 6 minutes. You know, all you can do then is like, take the pillow, put it in your lap, and put your face in it. Right? First of all, I don't think I can get my face to my lap. But anyway, I'm going to turn up and just praise God. Here we go. Woo! Anyway, so Revelation chapter 13 talked about this. John talked about this. Jesus talked about this to John. John the Revelator. Revelation chapter 13, verse 15 through 18, he says, the second beast was given the power to give breath to the image. By the way, if you don't know this or not, the internet is not really anything. It's an image of what's made to look like something. Technology is not real. You should hear. We might have on the torch Steve Jobs explaining. Do we have that on the Steve Jobs is explaining how computers work? And he says, it's just so simple. It's just, we got to get that. I have that anyway. So, it's not real. I know it kicks in your mind and makes you think it's real, and you have these, but it's an image. And so, the second beast was given power, by the way, to give breath to the image of the first beast, so that the image could speak. Think about it. Technology is speaking today. I don't know if you know this or not, but you know, I just got back from Texas, and we were all over a particular place in Texas, and the whole time we were there, technology was saying, turn left here, eat a hamburger there, stay in this hotel here. And it was just constantly speaking, right? And I did talk back to, as a matter of fact, I do want to say this, that when Donna was driving, I mean, she just, oh my goodness, that thing said take a left, she took a left, it said take a right. No, I said, I think you need to take a left here. She's like, I don't know. I'm like, you're listening to that computer more than you're listening to me. So I told her I was going to tell everybody that. Anyway, so.
No more pork chops.
Yeah, no. Oh, dude. I'm sorry. Anyway, so so that the image could speak. So the image can speak. And so it spoke to me the whole time, you know. And cause all who refuse to worship the image to be killed. You know, as a Christian, you know, that's not a negative thing.
Right.
Process might be a negative thing. But it also, listen, this is, I'm reading from the prophetic word in Revelation. It goes on to say, it also, this beast, forced all people, great and small, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark, something, some identifier, some GPS, some Maybe they're just going to shove your iPhone in your hand. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Some mark on your right hand or on their forehead so that they could not do business. They couldn't buy groceries. They could not buy or sell unless they had the mark, which is the number of the beast or the number of its name. I don't know if you know this or not, but there's two numbers that computers operate off of, a zero and a one.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. The whole thing is numbers.
Amazing.
Every bit of it's numbers. And it was created by man, you know, and the number six is the number of men. And when you think about it as well, that, and we, you know, we're talking to you on technology right now. We're using it for God's, but there's a day that, that looks like it's all going to be taken and used for dark things. And, but even think about Apple and you think about its logo. Its logo is an apple with a bite out of it. I was talking to the tech services with Apple, which is very rarely because they have a good product that works.
Mm-hmm.
And it never dawned on me. And I don't know why it never dawned on me. And I'm talking to them. I was having issues with the iPhone or something. And I normally don't do technical calls.
No.
I have somebody that helps me with that. I tend to bear more fruit when I don't talk to those guys. Anyway, so I looked at her. I looked at this my phone, and all of a sudden I rebooted it or something, and this apple with a bite out of it came out of it. And that's what, by the way, people don't know that when you read your Bible, like this, the 17-18% that are reading their Bible, you other 81%, just read the first chapter or two of Genesis, and there's an apple or there's a fruit that gets bitten.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this like it's a forbidden fruit in the mm-hmm. true knowledge of good and evil. And so I told the person, I said, this is what's wrong. That's what, oh my goodness, you know. And then I said, man, this is a good phone though. And I like, what do you do with this? And then the Lord spoke to me later on, recently actually, because you're thinking, I'm not going to name technology companies because it usually, just because you can don't mean you should. You know, and Paul did that once, and it caused him a lot of problems. But the very technology that we're using today, there's going to be a day's going to come where, you know, where you see how people just line up for days to get the next technology, and they're just, you know, the kids start coming up, and they're just like, I gotta have a phone. It's like, you don't even have friends. I mean, how are you gonna who are you gonna call? And what they're going to do is tie into the image. It would mm-hmm. tie into the imagery and the all the, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like you don't know. And or text, instead of crossing the street, they just text their friend across the street.
Right.
And so in that, a point's going to come. God has shown me a point's going to come where, you know, the church is going to have to divide itself from this bridge. I don't know how long this bridge is going to be available for us. But we're not going to be able to say, hey, we're going to continue to go on. Because how many times does people get a new technology or a new program and it has 40, 60 pages worth of information that you have to read? And it says, have you read all this? Do you accept all this? If you accept this, if you accept this mark, you accept this this program, if you accept this new phone, click I agree.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? You can use Bitcoin, this economy. You use it from your phone.
Yeah.
But you have to accept it. You have to accept it. I mean, there isn't even a currency called the mark. But the whole thing is, it's an identifier. Come on now. It's an identifier. And when I was in Texas, for example, it knew where I was all along. I mean, it knew where I was not only on the road, but it knew what road I was on. It knew where I was on that road.
Hmm.
Not only did it know that this is a good place to get a hamburger, for example, but it knew what table I chose to sit in.
Wow.
That's how it knew all that, you know. And that's free technology. You know what I'm saying? That's not what George Soros has. Anyway, so in that, understanding this, that this is coming to pass. You know, you got to hear all this to understand what we're talking about, the fullness of it. But it's amazing how computing technology is based on numbers, and it's a system that man has created, and it is becoming more and more lifelike. And people are now speaking to it and it is speaking back, and some are allowing it to listen to their life so that it can interject and make suggestions and help them decide what to do. It just turns on and it stays on and just listens to what's going on. Mine would, you know, if you mind listening to me, it's like, is there much for extras here? No. There's virtual worlds now that exist that people are so engulfed in that they hardly can relate to the real world. They just can't relate to it. So they just call their virtual experience, they call it life. But when they're sitting right next to someone in the subway going under the streets of New York, they're like worlds apart. But yet they're tied in and they're all looking like they're technology. They're looking at this technology. So whoever's running the technology is the one that's talking to everybody on that train or that bus or that road. They're the ones communicating to all those kids and all the students. Children and now young adults are hooked on these virtual games that basically end up to be war games, because wars are being fought right now with technology, drones and satellites, with men sitting thousands and thousands of miles away. One man ruling over one nation with drones and killing people left and right. One man. But guess what? Once the mark is inside you or on you, they no longer need the man, because the system can actually know where you're buying, where you're selling. Are you within the confines of what we say is right? If not, we take you out. Drones are coming. You'll be able to see this picture on the torch today. The drones are unmanned pilots being controlled by some other technology that somebody's driving. That it's the size of a mosquito. Is there a fly in your house? Is there a mosquito flying around your house? Think about it. Think about what that's going to create in big country. Now they need a man to sit in the control center. But once the technology is forced as a mark or as a digital or as a GPS inside of you, and it has your identifier, your own personal address, and there's enough IPs now for everything that exists, not just for us, because they kicked over recently with a new IP address when they ran out of them, that even your toaster is going to have an IP address, that they'll know where everything is at all times, every single second. Listen, we were told this is going to happen. New technology is being available for smartphones today to that with a purchase price that can tell you the purchase price of your house, your neighbor's house, what the blueprint's like, what your taxes are. I mean, somebody even referred to this as a stalker app, app. Listen, if you don't know Jesus Christ, today is your day. If you've been faking it until you make it, you better make it today. You need to make Jesus the Lord of your life. Religious stuff is not going to protect you. All these things that are coming down the pike's not going to protect you. Listen, it's Jesus and Jesus only, but he's able and he's faithful. And let me tell you what he guarantees you. He guarantees you eternal life in him through his shed blood. It's time to quit playing around. Your religious experience is not going to save you, but Jesus will. Make him the Lord of your life. Go to meetmyfather.org and find out how we did. You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.